Welcome to episode of 276 of 4th and John. I am here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mal Davis. I am Gail Saunders. We are talking about, the Eagles timeline talk. We're also missing Prime in the building. But Eagles timeline talk. There's a couple things that are surfacing on the timeline. If you have some topics that you want to talk about that you've seen on the timeline, put it in the comments. Let us know. We'll talk about it. But just we're trying to get a show out before the Sixers game, because obviously that is an important time in everyone's life. I don't know about your family, but my family has been, our lives have revolved around Sixers games. So it's kind of like, brings us all together, high fiving, we get our food. It's a good vibe. It's almost like it's almost like medicine. We need it. So I mean, we're at a point where we thought we were knocked out. Here we're back. We get Embiid back. There's MVP talk. I don't care about that. I'm talking about Finals MVP. I'll take that. But how are you guys feeling? Are you guys geeked up about the season? Some of the timeline talk. Some Sixers.
Dude, I just want to build off of what you just said right there. You're talking about how the family's all hype, bro. I went out this on Saturday night with my mom. We went out to dinner, and let me just preface this by saying that both my parents, they were more Flyers people growing up than they were Sixers people. I leaned towards the Sixers, and this whole year, I've just been flooding them. Every game day, I'm just sending them Sixers content. I'm trying to get them into it. So I went out for Mother's Day this past weekend with my mom, and all she could do the entire dinner is gush over Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and how much she loves the Sixers team. And I was like, dude, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I just love this woman. It was great to see, man. That's my parents are all in on the Sixers bandwagon. With Embiid coming back, it's a completely different team. And I'm ready to watch them smack again tonight.
Yeah, I mean, my dad's side of the family is from Philly. So my grandmother, may she rest in peace, huge Sixers fan. Pops, he watches the games, he loves it. My mom is from New York, but she loves Embiid. Like, she'll hit me up and be like, yo, you saw Joel Embiid? I'm like, of course I saw Joel Embiid. Like, I watched the game. But nah, it's not medicine for me, bro. It's freaking heart. It's like heart palpitations watching the Sixers play ball. It's worse than the Eagles for me, man. So like, I'll turn it on and then turn it off. I haven't watched the full 76ers game in a minute. So I feel like I'm bad luck, bro. As soon as I turn it on, Harden starts missing and B get hurt. So I'm like, yo, you know what? I'll track it through ESPN and check the timeline, make sure everything Gucci. But yeah, I'm excited, man. Yo, listen, bro. I'm not trying to mess this up. I'm trying to see this championship.
Well, I feel like as a fan-centric podcast of the Eagles, we're geeked out about the Eagles. So we're always analyzing the Eagles, and when it comes to the Sixers, I feel like I could take a back seat. I can just be a super fan of the Sixers. Meanwhile, I was up till like 3 a.m. painting like Sixer shoes.
Pair of those
for my guy Adam Bolden in the house. But just overall, I mean, just thinking about Eagles related content. First and foremost, I think Eagle fans out there, or content creators out there have to realize, when Ray Didinger speaks, it's kind of like a guy you must listen to. He's the voice of reason for a lot of seasons. I think he's a guy that's put in the work. For any Eagle content creator out there, if you don't know who Ray Didinger is, go look him up. I think he's just the guy who has built his foundation off of research, hard work, dedication to his craft. And for him to get where he's gotten in his career, to be in the Hall of Fame, to be where he is, and still leaving on his own terms, Ray Didinger decided to hang it up. So, he's a guy that I, for one, have always respected. I had a moment to, had a moment to like hang out with Ray in a green room. This was a point when we had just got with NBC Philly, and we're sitting in the green room, and I'm trying to be like, oh, like I can't fanboy right now. There's the cool ass Ray Didinger right there. There's a guy that's like inspiration over there, but I can't play the cards, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, you can't fangirl out. Yeah.
But it got to a point where I was just like, yeah, you know, I told him how I felt and gave him his flowers while, you know. And just watching him work, him having a book, a stack of information, the way that he was breaking down the game. But just, he's always been that dude that has always been very authentic, very real.
Yeah.
And in these days where takes are like superimposed or blown out of proportion, he's a guy that, you know, like you'd always understand that he's done the research in the background to anything that he puts out there, any take that he puts out there. So I got to give hats off to Ray Diddy.
Yeah, and you took the Absolutely. Words out of my mouth too, man, because like I was going to say, in a world of hot takes that we live in today, where I mean, that's how articles get clicks nowadays, is it's all about the hot take. Ray Diddy, like, he kept it real, man. He always kept it real. And on top of that, he was like a walking Eagles encyclopedia. Like, that guy, what he knows about the history of the Eagles, like, he's forgotten more than I know. So, you know, he's just an Eagle through and through. I'm glad that I was able to recognize him and appreciate his time while he was still working. But I wish him a happy and long-filled retirement.
Yeah, I remember when I first started working with 4th and John, Gail and I had a conversation, and you had used like Ray Diddy as like the exemplar, right, of like how the work should look, how you should go about it, being fact-based, you know, not pandering to a specific group, crowd, or demographic, but like standing on your own feet, right? Like research, being about the action, being about really being a fan of the game and like understanding the game and the nuances of it. And I took that to heart. And like, you know, I think that there's a place for that still, right? Like you don't have to be sensationalized to get clicks. You don't have to go way to the extremes and, you know, create clickbait to entertain people, man. Like if you understand the game, you know, folks will click in with you, folks will tap in. And I think Ray proved that. And like you said, he was able to go out on his own terms, which a lot of people are not, especially the clickbait folks, right? Like you see them pop up, get real popular, and then disappear. Primo. So yeah, man, it's awesome.
What's up, Primo? We're in the middle of giving our thoughts on Ray Diddy. You have anything to say?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of the beginning of the show. Well, real quick about Diddinger. Besides Gail being his number one groupie, I mean the guy is definitely inspiration, especially the, you know, I mean, somebody like Gail. He teaches a lot, especially the way he breaks down the game, his dedication to the game, his dedication to the Eagles. This one thing that I definitely remember about him is his reaction when we won the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir.
That was cool. You know what I mean? And that was great to experience that with somebody, you know, important as Ray Diddinger is. Yeah. You know, I think we ran into him the one time at NBC. I'm not sure.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, the guy was really down to earth person. But you know, Diddy's the man, man. Like, you know, it's, I wish him nothing but the best. And you know, he's definitely an inspiration to those upcoming people that are trying to, you know, get into the same game as he was.
Yeah, absolutely, bro.
And we were able to get the announcement right here of his retirement. So,
okay. my contract with WIP is up at the end of May, and I've decided that will be it for me. I'm retiring. Sunday, May 29th will be my final show. All these years, my family has lived their lives around my schedule. Now I can build my life around theirs. I have a wonderful wife, 2 accomplished adult children, and 4 beautiful grandchildren. I'm ready to transition from being Ray Diddy to Grandpa. Next fall, instead of charting plays at Lincoln Financial Field, I'll be at Whitted Mercy University watching girls field hockey and cheering on my granddaughter, Haley. I look forward to summer walks through Center City with my wife, Maria, and our bulldog, Arlo. I look forward to our grandson's music recitals, leisurely strolls through Rittenhouse Square and Reading Terminal Market, and a weekly senior citizens matinee at the Ritz Five. I now can work my way through all the novels that I've set aside with a mental note that I'll get to it someday. Well, someday is finally here. I'm retiring from WIP Radio and also from my TV work at NBC Sports Philadelphia. I've truly enjoyed working at both places. I love the people I worked with, and I'm proud of what we built. but I feel it's time to go. I'm healthy, I'm happy, but I'm also 75 years old. It's time, really, it's that simple. I'm not being pushed out the door, I'm leaving on my own, but it isn't easy. I love my life. I grew up wanting to be a writer and wanting to be involved in sports, and I've seen it all come true. I saw all four professional teams win championships. I've ridden in their parades, and I've bathed in their confetti. It was great, but even great things run their course, and I've run mine. We still have a month to talk about the Sixers and the Phillies and, of course, the Eagles, and that's what I'll miss the most, the give and take with you, the listeners, sharing that passion, tackling all sorts of issues with this guy, my partner Glenn Macnell, laughing at our stupid football bets and all the other stuff we kicked around for the last 20 years. And don't worry, Glenn is staying on, so you'll get your weekly update on what's new on Netflix and Hulu. Chances are it will be a British cop show, and Glenn will love it. I just want all of you to know how much I appreciate your friendship and support. It means more to me than words can ever express. So thank you all, and let's have fun with the time that we have left.
That was heartfelt, man. If you didn't, if that didn't get to you, the one
dude's
thing
got away
he was saying,
with words, man.
He said, "Bathe in the confetti."
Yeah, like I love the fact that he was able to see all four teams win a championship. Who's gonna accomplish that here? You know what I mean?
That's crazy to think about, man.
And I wish everybody that sort of happiness in what they do, right? Like he set a goal for himself. He stuck with it. He's able to retire on his own terms, and it's not like he's invalid or unable to live life, right? Like he mentioned all the things he wants to do. He wants to lock in with his grandchildren and like spend that additional time. And I think it's just a great reminder that like we aren't just the work that we do, right? That we have loved ones, we have families, we have things that we're passionate about, and all things come to an end. Like he said, man, you got to lock in and just love what you do and love what you created.
I mean, I agree with you. I think that like when he touched on that whole fact that he's been doing this forever and his family, his entire life has been building their schedule around him. I thought that was cool that he's like he recognizes that, you know.
It kind of hit home. I was like after I heard him say that the first time, I was like, am I spending too much time on the Eagles? I was like, but hearing him talk, it was that,
but then also the fact that how he emphasized how the family is working their schedule around him.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, hey, look, I'm in the back of my mind, you know, shout out to the wife and to the kids. Cause when it comes to this and the Eagles, man, they work their schedule around me and extracurricular stuff as well. You know what I mean? Like with my sports, playing sports. So, I mean, that plays a big part with the family, the support the family gives somebody to go ahead and make that accomplishment. So, not only shout out to Ray, but his family. As well.
It's crazy to think about Ray, though, like just what a pillar he is in the Eagle society. The thought of him not being at the link on a game day and him instead being at Gwinnett Mercy University watching field hockey is just – it's crazy to think about, but he's earned that time. And like he said, He's seen it all at this point. He's seen every team win a championship. There's nothing else for him to do at this point. He's done it all. So hats off to him.
It's that ending, him reading that off, it reminded me of like Shawshank Redemption when talking about what was it, Morgan Freeman narrating?
Yeah.
It just seemed, because he's painting a picture as he talks. That was dope. That was dope.
Absolutely.
But we had to give a moment and hat tip an Eagles legend. Went from the stands to covering the game that he loves and doing it well.
Yeah.
Doing it well. But talk about doing it well. As we move along, cornerback two has been a topic of conversation. I think in theory, we all know that, we love the idea of James Bradberry.
Just like I love the idea of Tyrann Mathieu.
I mean, you know, Eagle fans will be geeked.
It's not about letting it go. I'm saying that I think that we have as good a chance to get – I don't think that, like, there's a lot of people that are, like, think that this Eagles getting James Bradberry is a lock. The same way that a lot of people thought Tyrann Mathieu was a lock. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not hanging on to the Matthew thing. I'm saying that there's 31 other teams. To think that we're going to get Bradberry, you're being naive.
Oh, no, no. I wasn't singing Let It Go for you. I was singing it
for you.
I think the idea, I was instantly on the Slay recruiting hotline, put out the meme, call him, see if he'll take a deal. Like, because the idea, he's already getting paid, right? He's already getting his money.
He got bought out of his.
Well, so whatever he's getting extra on top of that. So they got Giants still got to pay him. So, you know, at the end of the day, like having a guy that comes in here, wants to play on a team that, and he's like, yo, this team could compete. I go against the Giants twice a year, whoop that ass. I only got to drive down, you know, Jersey Turnpike, 95, whatever you want to call it, and still in the same region. Like, you know, if we get in a bidding war with any other team, I don't think we can match that. But looking at Spot Track, they give you the market value for James Bradberry. And his market, you know, value right there is $12.1 million would be his average annual salary. 3 years, $36 million. And that's ranked as the 16th cornerback in the league.
Which is so that's, wild.
Yeah.
We have about, 10 mil?
Roughly, yeah.
How
it works the magic, man.
Yeah, you could make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, because we were just talking about in terms of cap. And how he works the cap. Look at our offensive weapons for 22 cap. Look, Hurts is 1.6, Sanders 1.7, Scott 1.75, Brown, he got his cap to 5.6, Devontae Smith is at 4.5, Goddard's at 3.7, combined cap hit 19.7. So, like, can work the numbers if he really, really, really wanted.
Howie sets that number, and it's not going to go over whatever it is. And they've been mocking there's been a lot of smoke with Bradberry to the Raiders because his defensive coordinator is there. So, again, to Ev's point, like, it's going to be competitive. Like, James Bradberry still has stuff left in the tank. And last year, according to PFF, was his best season in coverage throughout his entire career. So it's not like he has some, like, precipitous drop-off. Right. So we'll see. But him as the CB2, I mean – This team goes from like playoff contender to like right in the mix with one of the best teams in the NFL. So I'm with it, bro. I would love to see it.
What do you think is the avenue that we take in a freeing up space? Do you think it would be more likely that we restructure contracts?
Probably. Okay.
Well, not only is that the avenue that we're going to take, do we wait to see if any of that happens before we start realizing there's a move that's going to be made?
I think they do it like preemptively, to be honest, because you want to have the bread in place, right? Because like you don't want to be in a situation where you got to make a move and then somebody comes in at the 11th hour, you know what I mean? Yeah, offer 15 a year, and then you're like, oh, damn, you know, I didn't do how we, you know, he's maniacal in what he does, man. I trust him with the contracts, right? Like, you know, back and forth around the draft. He hit it this year, but contract wise, I'm with it.
How about the fact, too, that like, I have never seen a GM just show their cards the same way that the Giants did. I mean, they straight up came out and said, I was expecting more of a market for James Bradberry. Why the hell would you say that, dude?
I mean, Amari Cooper, same thing, went for a fifth to the Browns, right? Like, I think this offseason was really interesting seeing a number of teams kind of predict moves in advance and then be upset when they didn't get compensation. But quite a few people went for much less than, you know, what we probably would have seen them go for. Had a team not sort of projected out what their intentions were. Who knows why you do that kind of stuff? I don't know.
I just think it takes away all your leverage when you, well, you come out and say that you're going to,
without a question,
where you're thinking about dropping the guy.
Well, I was speaking to my friend who's a diehard Giants fan, and they all knew it was coming down. Like they knew that they couldn't afford him. It's almost like, you know, having too much shit, like you need to get rid of some shit when you're broke. That's what they had to let go of some things. And obviously the concern in his voice as a Giant fan to the idea and thought, if the Eagles could get Bradberry, he was concerned. He was like,
they shook, bro.
He was super concerned. Now Edgar asked his question below, what type of effect would Bradberry have on the Eagles? I think at the end of the day, you got clamps. Got clamps on both ends. I still think you know, if you want to ghost ride the whip on safety with on the back end, you know, at least you got some clamps on both sides. So,
and then you also got to consider, like, I mean, with the front that we're going to have, like, they are going to penetrate quickly. So you're hoping that these safeties aren't, you know, all that needed to begin with. If the corners are able to hold on to their guy for a few seconds and then they're able to get to the quarterback, hopefully that's the formula.
Well, and then Slay doesn't have to chase ones, right? And, right. And you know, I would say Bradbury's best years in the NFL, he was playing off zone, right? So he could bump. But he's not a dude that you want chasing a wide receiver all around the field. You want to give him space to be able to see it in front of him and attack. And so, yeah, man, it gives the Eagles a lot. The multitude that we talked about when they drafted Jordan Davis, I think he offers from the secondary. And maybe, yeah, you go cheap and see what happens at safety because you don't have to worry about helping as much on the other side away from Slay.
Now, Mr. Cross brings up 1 year prove it deal. I think, you know, like
he proved it last year, honestly.
I think he's done enough to get him a decent deal, but I think if he's looking for a vibe, like, again, he's already getting paid, so he's getting double money, so I think he should be all set with that. D Moore, shout out D Moore in the chat. He says, "I trade for Greedy Williams too. Let him battle at camp." I still, you know, like, again, we're in the Steven Nelson phase of last year where we were all pretty much like, he's probably going to sign, but we're not sure if and when. Going to the it's going through a thrift store right now. Like, you know, you don't have the real money to go out there to the mall, so you gotta hit the thrift store and make it work. So in terms of thrifting, if we go going around the room here, like, obviously Bradbury looks the sexiest on there. You know, Trey Waynes with a familiarity with that Minnesota defense.
First name Kevin, last name King.
Joe Hayden.
Vernon Hargreaves had a lot of potential coming into the league, bro. I mean, I know he didn't live up to all the hype, but I mean, I would take a flyer on him, bro.
I think the young bull, Kevin King, is the youngest on there, right? Is he 20?
Hargreaves is 26.
Hargreaves 26. It's not sexy out there, but there's serviceable. There's serviceable guys out there.
Joe Hayden played well last year too, like at 32. You know what I mean? If you're only looking for a 1 year deal and then you're going into next year's draft looking to take somebody, or, you know, clearing some space and trying to sign somebody to a long term deal, knowing that Slay is gonna be on his way out soon, there's options.
It's honestly wild how some of these guys, how far they've fallen from grace. Because, like, if you look at some of the names on here, I mean, AJ Bouye, Joe Hayden, I mean, like, these are guys that
Chris Harris point, been a lockdown. Yeah, he was a lockdown.
Josh Norman. These were guys that at one point in their career were the guy at corner.
Right. Yeah, but this right here is
33.
This right here definitely shows how much the NFL is going in a whole different direction, man.
Yeah.
We got some, let's see, I just brought up the comment. I'm having a moment here. Is this that getting Bradbury would be an all-in moment, says 2020 vision. My thing is, like, if you see that as a move that you got to make, that makes sense for the team, that it fits the vision and it fits, if you could sell him on this idea of, like, yo, you want to make a run or you want to be on a team that's, like, you know, transcending versus a descending team. I do think the Giants are transcending from where they were last year, but
I think it's the perfect time, man, especially with the way the draft went and how hot he is right now. Hey, stay hot. You know what I mean? Go ahead and make that move.
I think going for AJ Brown was an all-in kind of proposition too, right? Like, you go get a young wide receiver, hand them $100 million. Like, I think that's you're not doing that if you think you're a Midland team in the NFL. I think seeing the other day on the timeline, Jalen Hurts is the most popular pick. He doesn't have the highest, like, chance for it, but over the past, like, week or so, he's the hottest pick for the MVP. So, like, even bettors are paying attention now, right? Like, turning those tickets in and choosing Jalen, pushing his percentage up. So, I think people are paying attention.
And Rome, honestly, I agree with him. I agree with what he has to say here in that, like, if you just think about if you bring Bradbury in, where are you weak aside from safety on defense? Yeah. Like you are just you're stacked across the board. If you bring in a solid second quarterback,
yeah.
I keep thinking in my head, I'm like, and I don't want to like gas my own self up, and just, the idea of bringing him in, like, if you would have told anybody, everyone likes to ride, you know, we'll let Howie know, let them know. I can't even think right now. Everyone will let Howie know how they feel about him sometimes. But in the fact that you could get
the light, man, it's the light, the new lighting.
It's the new lighting.
Oh, say less.
Uh-huh. I mean, this is how like worked up I am about the whole idea of like, could you imagine landing N'Kobe Dean, first of all, in the third? If someone said you got N'Kobe Dean in the third, AJ Brown,
a participant.
Okay. Well, AJ Brown, like this is pre draft. You're like, how the and then Jordan Davis.
I don't appreciate y'all throwing my picture.
Yo, it ain't no y'all. My phone got no control over this, bro.
And then Landon Bradbury,
would that be Howie's best offseason of his career?
That would be kind of nuts.
At least during our time. Yeah, yes.
Like that would be like iconic, and not even from the like
dream team was low.
Yeah, the dream team
was kind of
there was no cohesion with the dream team, right? Like we got a bunch of great individuals that came here and floundered because they weren't just
player salad is all it was.
Yeah, exactly. But like this, like you're getting people that fit different roles that are voids, right, for your team, especially on defense, and just given just multiplicity, given opportunity to just get freaky with it, man. That's what I want to see. Year two, I want to see the offense and defense be able to get freaky with it and not be predictable, not have to run the ball damn near 60 times a game, not have to play this bullshit off coverage, right? Like, I want to see folks get busy. Let's see what – I got the job. Let's see how I make it happen.
I'm ready to see the defense go to work, bro.
Yeah,
they pulled the trigger on Bradbury. Yeah. I am so ready to see this defense go to work. Bring on Dallas first week, man. Bring them on.
I mean, that's why people are like, there's some of them, like some of these moves, like, oh, they wouldn't have bring Bradbury. But you wouldn't have even thought that we would have brought in, traded for AJ Brown. That was a nice little surprise. But hey, man, you we'll see what it is. Shout out to the Feast with Pete in the chat.
What up, Pete?
This is because of you, man. I was like, you know what? I was like, camera. I was like, his production value was so key while we were shooting during the draft. I was like,
sweating and blinding yourself.
I got to step up my production value. So
now, Gail Leaker.
I said the light matched the background. I'm trying to be, I try to be like Pete. But if you check out Pete's food channel, I mean, and his football channel, by the way. During the draft, he talked about making mac and cheese. He made a mac and cheese, crawfish mac and cheese, crack. I mean, he was putting seasoning. I don't know, put sazon in there, but he was putting other seasoning from New Orleans. Like he was the thing was, I was like, man, listen. He said that he's gonna make it for a tailgate. I don't know if he exactly said that, but I'm forcing him.
Volunteering on there it goes,
but I don't know if Prime can handle the seafood.
No, I can't do the seafood, man.
I'm with you, Prime. You ain't by yourself.
Yeah. Someone said crawfish tastes like fish. I mean shrimp.
I wouldn't know.
Neither would I.
I wouldn't know, man.
Shout out to everyone in the chat. Shout out to Palatero, Paul, Mark from Oregon, Pete, Dean Mork. R&B, Mr. Rome in the house, Mr. Cross in the building, Mrs. McCabe. If I left anybody out, shout out to Edgar. Welcome back, Evan. Every time you speak right now with your allergies, you sound like some new person.
I had to spray my nose, bro. It was getting uncontrollable.
Sorry.
I just recently discovered nasal decongestant spray.
You recently discovered this?
I knew it was a thing. I didn't know what it did exactly.
Yo, he's young, bro. He's so
it decongested your nasals.
Mommy, look.
Y'all like how young boys just be discovering stuff that we've been on. It's just like, God, this found nasal decongestion. Like, bruh, for real, though.
Listen, I'm not one that takes advice. Man. I just go and find things on my own. And then I act like I'm the one that discovered it.
There you go.
This guy, he's Columbusan over here. Chris was from Columbus. Right, over here. Right. He's, yo, because the other day he had made that mention on Twitter about his nasal decongestion. I was like, are you flexing about your nasal decongestion?
I was trying to turn people on. I didn't know if everybody was on the nasal decongestion.
Yeah, people on that one, brother. You got allergies. You know what a nasal decongestion is.
Now, I keep if we're talking about the timeline, because obviously it's timeline talk. Timeline talk. These guys right here.
Oh, buddy.
Just the picture alone sends shockwaves up your spine. Because you know what kind of lethalness, I don't even know if that's a word, but lethalness.
Gets a coin across.
You have a route guy junior, right? You got route guy junior in Devontae Smith. Then you got I'm talking
wants to run you the fuck over.
This guy can get the yak. He'll get you. He'll fight for the tough yards. He's, you know, he got the size. He talk about the strength.
Good.
He's got 4% body fat. This is the combination. If you are a wrestling tandem, this would be, you got versatility here. You got Devontae off the ropes. And then you got the tussle and muscle of AJ Brown. You can't, like, how does that picture make you feel?
Dude, I haven't had a wide receiving core that looks that good in ever, bro. I can't tell you when I actually, with my own eyes, seen an Eagles wide receiver core that is this good, man. Like, I mean, we've had the single guys, we've had the Terrell Owens, we've had DeSean Jackson and Macklin. Honestly, I think that the ceiling for AJ Brown and Devontae Smith is higher than the Macklin and DeSean era. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think that's far-fetched. I just think that it's funny because you see when folks call AJ Brown a wide receiver one and everybody's like, yo, you slandering, you know, Slim. It's not slander. Like, he is the wide receiver one, yo. Yeah, like, he's better than Devontae Smith. Like, that's not slander. That's just a fact. The fact that we have two of the – I love these pictures now where they're like, yo, rank these wide receivers in the NFC East. Yeah. Like, rank these wide receivers in the NFC. And A.J. Brown and Devontae are at the top, in the top five, no matter where you're placing them. So, man, it's on Jalen, bro. Like, Jalen got the keys to the Lamborghini. He's been putting the work in. If he could orchestrate this offense, I mean, it's going to be hard to stop them.
Do you really think that, like, I'm going to ask kind of a complicated question here. In that,
lined up over here watching this, man. Feeling special.
Do you think, like, right now I would agree that A.J. Brown is better than Devontae Smith, but I still think that Devontae Smith, I think they're both still developing. And I think that just having A.J. Brown out there and probably, you know, taking most of the coverage, he's going to free up Devontae Smith. And that he's going to have the ability to eat. I mean, I don't think that you can guarantee that one wide receiver is going to do better than the other, is my point in what I'm saying. I think that I think they'll have similar numbers this year.
I think the wildest part is we haven't seen the ceiling for either of them.
Exactly.
Devontae Smith last year was doing it all on his own as a rookie, and then A.J. Brown wasn't in Tennessee. They weren't utilizing him well. And so, you know, I'm really curious to see, like you said, how they each open up the route tree and opportunities for one another. And then we can't forget about Quez Watkins, man. Right, Goddard working the seams, Quez working over the top. Zach Pascal is a legitimate wide receiver four.
Yeah,
he showed what he's capable of in Indianapolis across multiple years. And so, yeah, this offense, like, I'm just geeked up, bro. I can't remember the last time I was this excited about the offense and the defense of the Eagles. Like, I gotta slow down, bro, because I'm gonna be so disappointed if all of this shit just face plants. I'm gonna be sick.
Speaking of disappointment, I know that there would be some disappointment out there if Philadelphia's love child Greg Ward didn't make the team. You think he makes another squad this year? Or do you think this is the year where there's no more Greg Ward?
I think either way,
what he brings Greg, in the special teams.
He's just back in wide receiver five, but I think you got to make him fight for it. You got to make him any person on that wide receiver depth chart has got to fight for their life.
It makes it over John Hightower.
I want Greg Ward on the last day of camp to be like, I'm fighting for my fucking life out here. Like, I want him to be
Dynasty R. Kelly accusation.
You know what I mean? I need him to be fighting. You know, you're not just gonna get this spot just because it is what it is. Nah, I mean, you're gonna fight for it. And that, I mean, where does Rager stand?
Rager makes the team, in my opinion, bro. He's a first round pick, but he's a back end of the depth chart guy. Like, I think Rager has to make the team over Ward.
Team needs a Ward, boy.
I mean, like, just if you look at raw ability,
put that man at running back and see what happens.
Yeah. Use him like a Percy Harvin type.
A Debo? You trying to get a Debo out of?
I think that's kind of what Rager's game is.
I mean,
when
you looked at his best year at TCU, that's how they used him. They used him out of the backfield. They used him on end of rounds. They used him on quick hitters. Used him on screens. Like, you got to just place the ball in his hands, right, so that he can't drop it. And then let's see. I think get creative.
Anyone happen to catch his social media today? He was working out at the link, put up some. I know that there was a topic of conversation a couple weeks ago that he had deleted all of his Eagles pictures from his profile. And then he posted four pictures today from the link on a tweet that you can't comment on.
If you're going to work out, you work out.
Keep it that way. Keep it that way.
He showed a picture of him working out.
He was getting grilled in the quote tweets, but
you know.
Oh, of course.
You guys mentioned Debo, like you're talking about real Debo. I want quarterbacks out here. Like, I mean, this is the Debo right here. I want cornerbacks to be like, you got knocked the fuck out, man.
Devontae's face fits too well on that, bro. Yeah, man,
way well. And your same body type of Smokey, like, it's perfect. Too well.
Yo, Pop tripping. He wants me to ask for my bike back.
That's my bike, pump.
Yo, I mean, it feels good. Like, I'm talking about, like, you going into a fight now. You know, you got some dogs on the left and right. You're like, nah, I feel okay. You know, not everyone in the squad is 5'8 and under.
But I mean, the big topic of conversation that we always get back to, the biggest negative thing I see on the timeline is, well, who's going to throw to him?
Yeah.
What's your confidence level? I mean, Hurts has weapons now, and we all mentioned that this is his year, that he's got to make it or break it. But in your guys' mind, do you think that Hurts makes the right step this year in the right direction?
I do.
Going back to what we said last year, man, we put the confidence on making, you know, sticking with this guy. We know what work he needs to put in. It's all about what offseason work he's going to go ahead and focus on.
Yeah.
I'm in. But again, no excuses. Yeah. This is do or die right here, man. Like, you have everything set up for you. Yeah. And if you fail this, you got to get replaced.
But it's funny, like, there's this faction of fans where it's like, you better fucking, you know, like, or there's the other fans that are like, you know, like, really, you know, like, I'd say they're the Jalen stands. And there's like Eagle fans at the end of the day, like, yo, I'm just rooting for anyone who's under our center.
Yeah.
And, but I feel like you put Jalen Hurts in a place to succeed. Like, like, going into the draft, I was like, all right, we're ghost riding the whip here on wide receiver opposite of Devontae Smith. And this was the shocker move. Now I feel like you can compete. Now you have two dogs. Now you talk about the RPO gang, the RPO gang with AJ Brown, who's successful running the slants, the quick game, all that, you know, a quick strike offense with AJ Brown, who can get yak. It kind of complements his game, and he's got a catch radius. He can go up and high point the football, you know, attack the ball at its highest point. You know, you got a guy that's going to compete. So.
And you still got Jalen's legs too.
And I think with the like threshold piece, people want to talk like yards, numbers. For me, it's not really that. It's his progression in the pocket, right? Like how much time did he spend studying tape with the pre and post snap recognition, right? Like defenses didn't do a ton of disguise stuff. You had all of these comments where people were saying they kept it basic and he still couldn't compete. Like this was his offseason, and you know, he has it between the ears, man. Like he's a smart kid. He's a leader. The Eagles players clearly stand behind him. The coaching staff could have pulled them last year to put in Minshew, chose not to. And so all the cards are lined up. For me, I'm not going to like earmark numbers as much as I want to say when the pocket breaks down, are you scrambling to run? Or are you scrambling to extend the play and look downfield? Because you got dudes like A.J. Brown running around. You got Dallas Goedert. You know, you got Kenneth Gainwell shaking folks out of the backfield. Like, you have the weapons. It does not just have to be you. So, yeah, man, I want to see him make those throws, those 10-yard outs from the opposite hash. I want to see you put that shit on point, hit folks in stride, and just run the offense. You don't got to be fancy. Run the offense, and this thing could go as far as they want it to.
Yeah, no, I think as far as like threshold is concerned, I'm not necessarily looking at just hard numbers and like the box score and the stats you end the season with. For me, it's going to come down to the eye test, really. Like what I saw in Carson Wentz in his first season, it wasn't a great first season, but I saw glimpses and flashes of what I could see as a future franchise quarterback. Granted, we all know how the Carson Wentz saga ended, but I mean, leading up to that point, we were all convinced that this is what we need at quarterback at this position. That's what I need from Jalen Hurts this year. I need him to show my eyes that he is capable of taking over this position.
Absolutely. And like leaving no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Right. Because like that's the piece. If that question mark still exists, they probably find somebody in next year's draft, which is loaded.
If you don't know, then you know.
Yeah, exactly. So like you got to leave him without a question.
I mean, the one thing I do like about our offense is our trenches, again, are. I like are stacked. Like we'll start with offense because we're on the offensive side. But like you got Jordan Mailata, backing him is Andre Dillard. You have Landon Dickerson, Sua Opeta, who's backing up Landon Dickerson. Jason Kelce, the center god, with Cam Jurgens backing him up.
Yo, I'm loving the videos of Cam Jurgens playing offense
on the farm.
Yeah, guard against farm. Cows and shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's his Steve, man. He's totally bought in.
It reminds me of Khabib fighting bears. Yeah, sorry.
So you got Isaac Suamalu, you got Jack Anderson backing him up, Lane Johnson. Then you have Jake Driscoll, who's talk about seasoned. He's been
flexible,
you know, versatile as well. You got LaRaven Clark. I mean, you have guys. I mean, and that's not even we go across the side. I mean, I think the Eagles are winning the trench war for like think of this. You got Hassan Reddick, you got Fletcher Cox, you got Jordan Davis, Javon Hargraves, Brandon Graham.
And then, you even beefed up the linebackers, bro.
This is the matchup I'm waiting for, man, in training camp is our starting offensive line versus even the second team defensive line, right? Because, like, they give them – switch them out in reps. That second team defensive line still got some dogs on it, bro, right? Like, you might be talking about Brandon Graham on the second line, right? Like a freaking all-Eagle, like, all circle timer, of a ring player. Second line, right? Jordan Davis potentially on that second line to start out. Like, that's going to be such a battle to watch, and it's iron sharpening iron. Milton Williams, too, absolutely. It's just a litany of dudes, man. I just can't wait, bro.
And versatility. Talk about, you know, a hybrid front. You know, like, there's a possibility that you can do a multitude of things with the guys that we have up front. Again, if they want to, you know, get crafty, they can. And talking about matchups and different teams that they're playing, they could move some things around. And again, you talk about the trenches. I do really believe that trenches wins Super Bowls, you know. I mean, solid quarterbacks do too, but like building the trenches, they poured money into the trenches. So I'm excited about that.
Talk that talk, Rome.
I think that like Rome, I mean that's high aspiration.
R&B over here.
Talk that talk.
As for me, like I honestly don't know what to expect this year. I really don't know what to expect. For me, though, there's a lot of promise for next year. I know a lot of people don't like playing the patience game, but I feel really, really confident about where we're going to be standing this time next year going into that season. because we're gonna have those additional first round picks. We're gonna know if Jalen Hurts is the guy or not, and we will have his replacement if he isn't. Yeah. I think that there's just a lot of unknowns that we're going into this year. The ceiling could be high. We could do way better than expected. But as for building the foundation for this team, I have a lot more confidence for our future.
Well, and right now they have the third or fourth easiest. I want to say the third easiest.
Yeah, I saw schedule, that. I saw that. Yep.
Like, of that whole NFL season. Of course, that changes. Some teams end up better than you think. Some teams end up worse. So, you know, starting out right now, it really doesn't mean much. But, like, is there to secure the NFC, right? It's like when Brown went to the West and everybody was like, the East is wide open. I feel the same way, man. You know, I think that, like, a couple teams got worse than the NFC. And is the Eagles got better, like significantly better. Mm-hmm. Definitely next year is something to look forward to. But I think you could build a hell of a foundation right now that then if you don't do it this year, carries over into next year. Yeah. And you just continue that momentum.
Now, talking about foundation, and Daz here brings up a question. You guys see N'Kobe Dean's new interview. I think when you listen to that dude speak and you understand that he's the field general that you can rely on. I feel like, you know, the ceiling's there, man. You talk about, we talked about the Eagles defense being multiple up front and some hybrid looks, but you're talking about a guy who's played behind Jordan Davis. And we talk about, you know, the ideas of, you know, why we're using, you know, like more 3-4 looks. And what does that open up? Blitzing lanes, and we got one of the best blitzing linebackers out of college. I feel like it only makes sense that you're going to see a heat sinking missile in the N'Kobe Dean firing through these open lanes. So I feel like, again, N'Kobe Dean, who his, you know, mechanical engineer, Mike, his dad's a doctor. This guy is a very impressive,
intelligent man,
impressive dude. I know. Prime loves him some linebacks. Are you geeked out about N'Kobe?
Oh yeah, man. And just when I listen to that kid talk, you can hear the leadership in his voice. You could tell that he's ready to take that role, man. And we've been looking for that for a long time. I mean, I get a little sense of a Jeremiah Trotter in the kid. Like, I need that, man. You know what I mean? And here we finally got it. For steal that on top of that third round. Come on. How much more blessed can we be?
Right. Trotter's one of my all time favorites.
Of course. I saw a Jesse Tuggle comp for N'Kobe Dean. And for folks that really know, like, Tuggle was a beast. And so, you know, if he can live up, you talking Trotter or talking Tuttle, right? When you talking about some of the best linebackers of that era. And so if he lives up to even the fringes of that, I mean, come on now. You know, this is an opportunity, again, for the Eagles to take a huge step forward. And I don't know, Gail, you were making a great point earlier, like coming into the draft, like, we speculated a bunch of stuff, but I don't think any of us thought it'd be N'Kobe Dean, A.J. Brown, Cam Jurgens, and Davis, right? Like, all four of these players the Eagles walked away with, plus some really good late-round picks, plus some really good undrafted free agents.
Yep.
Who the heck thought we would get Carson Strong as a UDFA? So, you know,
again, like,
this, you know, Josh Jobe, you know, Mario Gurvich, like, folks that were supposed to get drafted. Calcaterra fell because of injury concerns, but if he could play through his rookie contract again, I mean, hellacious value in the sixth round. Kyron Johnson is going to be a hell of a special teamer. So,
add Hassan Reddick in there too.
Hassan, right. And I forget about Hassan Reddick. Kazir White, who I was super excited about. It's just, bruh, so much.
As we get fired up, the Sixers game is near and close. Time to start? 7?
7:30.
Okay, 7:30.
7:30.
Right. Okay, we got an hour. We got an hour left to the pod.
Prime on it. Prime like, nah, don't mess with it. Don't mess it up.
Listen, man, ever since game three, I've been into it, man. Yeah. I'm into it.
He's like, I'm into it.
He says ever since game three. I've watched every game this season, pal.
No, I watched every game, bro. I'm just saying, first two games, it was just like, it was the worst basketball I've seen, man. It was just stupid basketball.
This is how people that watch every Sixers game drink.
That's a psycho's drink.
Violation.
My wife heard us talking about crunchy beer. She was like, yo, don't put that on Jersey. I'm like, listen, that's some Jersey stuff, man. Like, no, we don't do that nowhere else. No, Jersey, like, bro.
We're going to do.
Jersey. We don't blame this guy.
We got to do, you know, we used
crunchy
to
have beer review.
Oh, we used to have the beer bong baptisms. Now we got the crunchy beer baptism. Like, yeah, you got to call me crunchy beer. Like, what the hell's a crunchy beer? I go to this.
Look what you started. Now I can see him having them lined up as he's making cheese steaks.
Right next to my cheese steaks. I'm going to have a whole bunch of peanuts.
You
got
to have some beer nuts.
I come to Philly, this dude gave me a crunchy beer and his damn cheesesteak. I couldn't say no. He gave me a free cheesesteak, so I had the crunchy beer.
That's fair. That's a fair trade-off. If somebody gives you a free cheesesteak, you can take their crunchy beer and just throw it out. Listen, I'm going to have the garbage come over by me. Y'all see me, I'll be post up. Come over near me. I'm going to have a trash can for the crunch. It's the crunchy beer disposable.
You'll hide behind Mal.
Come right over here. Mal, just dunk
it. I'll make the sign. Dump that shit here.
Just dunk that shit behind me. You good, man. You good.
Shout out to Mr. iFlow. He says, humor me. What if N'Kobe Dean becomes like a Hall of Famer guy?
I don't want
to
talk about it,
bro. We got Hassan Reddick, too. Sorry, I'm getting giddy.
Yeah, get that girl face out.
No, I mean, like, again, like, obviously, everyone's like, you know, everyone's
coming in like,
coming in hot.
Man. Hot. That is hilarious. Like, that face.
I mean, like, N'Kobe Dean, I have a lot of hope for him, but, like, you know, already putting him in the Hall of Fame might be, you know, hitting the accelerator a little fast. You know what I mean? Is there any, like, I know that we're all biased here. We all love N'Kobe Dean, and I don't want my question to make you think that I don't. But is there any concern at all about his size? Because he is small.
So, yo, I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning last night, my G. I couldn't go to sleep. And it came in my mind, was like, yo, go back and check N'Kobe Dean's arm length versus the linebackers that went in front of him in his range. He's like a quarter of an inch to a half inch smaller than a couple people, has longer arms than Troy Anderson. And so that was one of my things, like, coming in, I had the misconception because he's short. He also has short arms. Mm-hmm. Wasn't too far off of some of the dudes that have gone in previous rounds, the previous years. I mean, he's short. But as far as, like, the arm length component, I'm not as worried. For me, again, it comes down to that being able to get away from blocks, right? Like, he doesn't disengage.
He's able to get small, too. Like, that's an advantage of being small, is that you're able to get
ankle
that
blitz, bro.
Yo, that
ankle
blitzing bite. As a small dude, ooh, mm-hmm. We fitting some of those holes, man. Big dudes can't get through some of those. Devin Lloyd couldn't make it through some of the spots that he got through in the SEC. All fame, nah, bro.
Shout out to Pop said, Pop, this size doesn't matter.
Yo, Pops, they lied to you when they told you that, dog.
Wrong.
They're trying to make you feel good, bro. Don't believe that.
when I seen Mal for the first time when we showed up to Xfinity Live, and I'm like, oh, I'll meet you then. And all of a sudden, I feel a shadow behind me, and I'm like, the fuck? What is this? There's a shadow inside the establishment. And then I'm like, bro, you didn't tell me he's like 6'5". And
I don't know how to tell people that. I got horrible composure, but I'm 6'4", 245.
Yo, I'm not small. Sneak in anywhere.
Yo, when we showed up to Mal's event, man, I pulled up. There was a van there, and I saw him over the van. There he is.
Yo, appreciate y'all again for showing up to that Juneteenth event, man. Much love, y'all. Man, appreciate y'all, boys.
Bro. You gonna be doing it again?
Hell no. My wife asked me. She was like, "You doing another one?" I was like, "Absolutely not. I'm not dealing with vendors for another year or two, bro. That's a pain in the ass."
Oh, I bet, man.
Dude, I went across the street. I think it was before I met up with you. I went to a bodega that was across the street there.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm trying to cop some candy or something like that. I just needed a little jolt. I grabbed a bag of sour. Dude, I will never buy candy from a bodega again. It was hot as fuck, bro. They were all melted together. I was so pissed.
It's not a real bodega. There's no cat in the bodega. It's not a real bodega.
It's not a real bodega.
I don't think that was the bodega that you needed to
go. And a lot of these are fronts, man. Like, they got what you want, but it ain't candy, bro. That
kind of candy. My bodega's gotta have the cat sitting on top of the plantains. Yo, that's my type of bodega.
Yes,
like, can you move the cat out the way so I can get my plantain? Yeah.
Can you move the pussy out the way?
Yeah, so talking about you know, we are going to be doing a event. If you guys haven't seen the socials, but shout out to E, shout out to E-Rock and the guys from Last Out Media, John Barchard and Vince Quinn. We'll be doing the Eagles Autism Challenge fundraiser night on May 12th. That's Thursday, 9 p.m. to 12.
This Thursday.
Silent auction. Guest bartenders are guys here.
I got a heavy hand.
We'll have a live DJ in the house. There's going to be a photo booth. Chris Rome is going to be spinning. Shout out to all the sponsors that will be involved in this event.
Should I tell them that I'm a pizza extraordinaire? I'm gonna make some pizzas too.
You're making pizzas.
I'm just saying, I'll throw it out there. I know how.
So, okay. You're a pizza elitist. Okay. Pizza elitist. So if you guys want to come out, it's for a great cause. All proceeds are going 100% to the Eagles Autism Challenge. There's going to be some great gifts, things that be auctioned. I'm putting in a pair of Eagles custom bands. I know E's gotten a bunch of stuff from around. People have been great. Just offering up stuff to there's a Jalen Hurts signed football, a signed football from Deshaun Jackson and LeSean McCoy. There's a signed jersey from Wilbur Montgomery. There is what else? There's a live sit-in. There's a live sit-in on WIP morning show up for bids. What else, man? What else? So it's a great opportunity, man. Like you're gonna have a great opportunity to hang out with some Eagle fans. We're gonna talk about the schedule too, man.
Mm-hmm. Schedule drop.
Schedule release is on Thursday, but talking about schedules, we got one that we know about. That is, they're bringing the Skull home opener. The home opening tailgate is going to be at night.
Oh, club join to start the year.
At night.
I don't know. Start off the year. Club jumps. Start off the year.
It's always a good time. Always a good time at night.
Bring those lights, Gail. Bring those lights, Gail.
You know, it's always a good time. A night tailgate at 4th and John. You never know what's going to happen. Shout out to DJ Lowski and his pyrotechnics out here. We have JJ Free. If you're not watching or listening on the podcast, but if you're watching, JJ Free, 4th and John's favorite lawyer in Philadelphia, is having a moment with the sparklers.
That's one way of putting it.
That's when he finally realized how he was filming.
That's when he realized he messed up.
He stepped off the sparklers. He was like,
Derek, why'd you take your pants off? My balls was hot. I understand.
How many people got burned by the thing? In a good way.
And that's like a lawyer, bro. I'll be hella careful, man. Keep the lawyer away from the pyrotechnics, bro. Yo. That's a walking case.
I'm going to hire myself.
Who is returning to Club John on this is going to be a great time, man. Like, Dad's is at, what's the backstory of 4th and John? That's a deep rooted question. Like, what do you, backstory?
Do we have another hour here?
We can go on for days, but Dad, you got to come out to the tailgate and join. At the end of the day, it's about bringing people together. So that is the backstory.
And it's all about creating your own story with 4th and John.
Yeah, but I remember anyways. Prime showing up to it. I seen Prime at the tailgate in a Transformer uniform. Outfit. I was like, this guy's no joke. I was like, I knew he was a Transformer fan, but I was
he got a Lombardi trophy too.
That Lombardi trophy was the hit for like everyone thought that was the real Lombardi trophy.
everybody thought that was a Lombardi trophy. Everybody thought this man was Brian Dawkins. Oh man, it was a night to remember.
Yeah, man. How it's kind of ironic that we have purple lighting in the back. You know, it's the Vikings opener. It's kind of weird.
You're trying to flex right now. The new lights.
You are flexing. You're reaching. say Diddinger one more time.
No, I mean, how do you guys feel about the Vikings home opener?
What do you mean how I feel?
The Vikings, playing against the Vikings.
We're going to smoke them, boys.
I think it's, I mean, first of all, it's the home opener. It's a night game. You got your club drawn going on. You got Kirk Cousins. And, like, we've got this pseudo kind of rivalry that we've built up with Minnesota ever since we trounced their asses.
Fans hate us.
I know. They hate our guts. And that's because we beat their asses. And then we went and won a Super Bowl in their house. So, you know, they don't got any Super Bowl.
Good.
Shout out to Kelly. He's saying, "I need a cheesesteak shipped to Texas." First of all, I'm still geeking off the cheesesteak that Prime brought me to the other day. I was thinking, I need cheesesteak. Maybe I should go to the same spot. So I'm like, I don't know if that's my new favorite place.
Yo, man,
Sonny's
is Sonny's, nice. Bro. Sonny's is the bomb. Shout out to Sonny's, man.
Son, speaking of Philadelphia's prodigal son, Devontae Smith, also known as Route God Jr., they reached out the other day and had asked me about if we as a group had bought tickets to an event. So Devontae Smith is having a celebrity softball game on June 4th, and they are going to give away two tickets. So each of our platforms. So we're going to put out a little contest on the timeline. So if you want to win two tickets to his softball game, this is going to be, I believe this is going to be in Allentown, if I'm not mistaken. But if you want to win two tickets to this softball game, all you got to do is follow their platform on Twitter or IG. We're gonna put the contest out there, but all you have to do is follow them and retweet it, and you'll be entered in winning the contest.
Odds I beat Devontae in a race?
Probably not.
Immediately.
Some of the people that
a beer nut race.
Yeah, you, you might win that.
Yeah, you got to sprint and then chug a crunchy beer.
So are you guys all attending? Are you guys all attending?
Crunchy beer.
Huh?
Are you guys all attending?
Are we attending?
Are you?
I plan to.
We there. Yeah. We there.
Oh, it's a plan. Yes, it's a question.
We there. Yes.
Okay, so if you do, when you do arrive, you're going to see people like Deontay Johnson of the Steelers. He's confirmed. We have Miles Sanders, everyone's favorite running back.
Booby
in the house will be there. He's also confirmed.
Why has he got a star in his hat?
I don't know.
He had three of them, technically, to be fair. All right.
Mac Wilson, also a Bama alum, has confirmed. And Terrell Edmonds is confirmed. There's other guests right now. They're leaking them out, just like the schedule leak. They're leaking them out. So
I like the Steelers support, man. Like, that's dope. You know what I mean? Like, we spent most of my life, Steelers, Eagles, it was no cross collaboration. Like, that was beef. But to see the young boys collaborating for a good cause is awesome.
Shout out to Jay talking about collab. Oh, top tomato. He's the guy that put us on to the top tomato.
Yeah, man. Sure. He's the man.
Thank you, Jay.
Out here flexing in the obby, like living the best life.
I can't believe talk about this is that my life.
I'm over there.
Shout out to Aaron. Aaron, if you guys didn't see Aaron, he was out there flexing at the NFL draft. He was right next to the Philly sports guy. Hey, that's a great moment, man, being at the draft in the front row repping your birds. Shout out to Aaron, man.
Yes, sir.
Puga's talking about us coming to Arizona. Is it, do you guys feeling that game?
Depends. You gonna drive the hell out there?
No, we're not driving. But I'm definitely Arizona's definitely on my map.
I want to hit Arizona too. I know two people that just went to Arizona. They were in Scottsdale, and they said that all the Airbnbs there have fucking putting greens attached.
We don't need an Airbnb. We're going to take over the Kincaid Mansion.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say all the Airbnbs had scorpions. I was gonna be like,
that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be real cool. I would love to see a scorpion.
There's nothing cool about that.
Yeah, right. I would definitely love to see a scorpion.
You never had crunchy scorpion beer?
What? Yo, now you're going too far.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
that's a bit too far, bro.
I did see when I was out in Cali, though, they got lollipops with scorpions in the middle of them. Like, who the hell wants that?
I'm not surprised by that.
What, it's like a tequila lollipop, too?
I don't know. It's like they're frozen in like some, not frozen, but they're inside of like a lollipop, and they're like the lollipop's like yellow and clear. And then you see a scorpion.
Like baby,
you know?
Scorpions.
Yeah.
I've been out there.
I think it's the same size scorpions that they use in tequila.
Last time I was out in Arizona, I had some ATVs and I was rolling in the out in the desert, and I saw some coyotes, and I'm like, I'm gonna chase some of these coyotes, like see where they're going. All of a sudden, my ATV starts, you know, not working right, and I'm like,
You know those guys travel in packs, right, man? One coyote you could probably take. A pack of coyotes.
Gail started running.
I was like, please start. So that was my last time in Arizona. But Mark is reminding us that it's all about Sixers at this moment.
Yes,
if you hear this podcast tomorrow, we're going to speak it in existence. We're talking about the win.
That's a win.
Talking about this win,
and this out on Thursday, bro. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. As they come home, they done pissed that beat off.
Last
fire under his ass right now, bro.
Last words before we get out of here, we'll go with Mal first.
Yo, just fly, Eagles, fly, man. Excited as always to be on here with you boys. Excited about Thursday. I'm hoping to be there. I should be. Excited about Devontae Smith and his charity event, but overall the season is just going to be incredible. Looking forward to that Vikings tailgate, and yeah, man, fly Eagles fly, bro. Let's go 76ers, man. Let's get this win.
Sir, 1, 2, 3.
Primo.
Oh, shout out the moms, man. Happy Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Want to give a shout out to Orlando River Hot Sauce. Finally got my hot sauce from Gail.
Banging, bro.
All right, the shit is off the chain. Go check out the boy. He's got that fire. All right, I mean, literally, it's fire. Definitely want to go ahead and remind you guys about Tomato Top Bar. Make sure you guys come and join us for, you know, a special fundraiser for the Eagles Autism Challenge. We're looking forward to it. I know I'm looking forward to Thursday. Definitely catching up with the fellas and having a good time. Other than that, make that Bradbury move, man. Let's go. Let's make it happen. And Sixers all day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, you guys all pounded it home about Top Tomato. Hope to see you guys out there on Thursday. I'm just going to keep it simple and short. It's fucking go Sixers, bro.
Boom! Let's
do it.
Are you drinking any crunchy beer during the game?
Nah, I'm going to have some Kenny's, though. I'm going to have some Kenny's.
Okay. Just closing it out, man. Again, see if you're around Thursday, check us out at the Top Tomato. A great event. All proceeds going to the Eagles Autism Challenge. A lot of guys putting a lot of hard work. Shout out to E-Rock, Barchard, and Last Out Media, and Vince Quinn. Shout out to you guys. We have both we'll put our links. If you want to donate to our directly to our fundraising separately, I know each one of us are going to have a thing up there where you can donate. Put that out on socials later. But yeah, man, it's go Sixers, man. Go Sixers. MVP. You know, you didn't care about him until he wore a mask. I think this guy's an amazing player. You can take your MVP and shove it up here, because I don't give a damn. He's the MVP of the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's all that matters. Go Sixers. Fly, Eagles, fly. I think that's
Maximus. Maximus.
Anything else?
Say Diddinger one more time. Say Diddinger.
Diddy.
Legend.